Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is brought to you by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Berry.
And welcome to the show. Always a pleasure to have you here, especially during these warm summer days. We hope that you're having fun wherever you might be, enjoying every bit of your summer, and we want you to know how much we appreciate you being loyal to the program. We're on every week. We talk about financial literacy. We talk about those issues, those kitchen table issues that are important to us to make the right decisions about our home, our family, and our finances. And also to know about what's going on in the world. As you know, part of my audience, a large part of my audience, is the military, serving at various places all over the world. And we, from time to time, certainly take a bow to them in terms of passing on information. And one of the things I bet you did not know, that on July 16th, a very important day among the military in this country, on that particular day, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, the CFPB, and 34 other federal, state, government, and nonprofit organizations, including the Department of Defense, the Federal Trade Commission, and Military Saves, joined together to mark Military Consumer Protection Day. So what is that, you say? Well, I tell you what, we've got Commander Peter Hogle, Jr. with us. He'll tell you and explain exactly what that is coming up in just a minute. Following him, we're going to be in July. And in June, July, August, believe it or not, these are some of the busiest months for marriage. And probably someone in your family or friends, someone that you know, is probably getting married. And you know what you get for that? You get an invitation. We've already been. I'm laughing. My son, Tally Berry, is here in studio with me, my co-host of most of my shows these days. And we were at one wonderful marriage of a friend not too long ago. And it was a hot, but it was a beautiful day. And what did you take as a gift, Tally? Do you remember?
I don't recall taking a gift.
No, you didn't, because Dad took the gift. But we had to figure out, folks, what we were going to take. Now, we've got Cameron Huddleston. She's going to join us from Kiplinger.com. And she's going to round up the 7 worst wedding gifts you can give. And what are the better alternatives? So that, well, after we talk with Peter about this particular day and the matter of fact, the rest of the month and the rest of the year, we should be concerned about this wonderful MCPD, Military Consumer Protection Day. And let me welcome Commander Peter Hogle, Jr., United States Navy, born in New Haven, Connecticut, 17 years in the Navy, now is the Deputy Director of the Department of Defense Office of Family Policy. Peter, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you with us.
Hello, Paul. It's a pleasure to be here.
You are Deputy Director of the Department of Defense Office of Family Policy, children and youth. What does that have to do with running those ships out there in the ocean?
Well, at heart, I am a U.S. Navy surface warfare officer, and I love being at sea and driving ships. But part of being a Navy officer, being a military officer, is getting a wide range of experience and learning how policy is made and how we support service members and support defense of our nation. So a key part of that is military families and all the aspects of supporting military families, which is the job I've been in for about a year, and I couldn't be happier. It's really a wonderful position and an amazing opportunity.
Well, we're glad you're there because you're here with us today, and we want to talk about this. And I agree with you. The best military officer, whether he be Navy, Air Force, Marines, or Army, is the well-rounded officer who takes care of all aspects of his life and his business, and family business is certainly part of it. Being ready, you can't, if you're worried about family, if you're worried about finances, you're not going to have your eye squarely on the ball as a military officer, are you?
Oh, absolutely. And the department and all the services really recognize that it is absolutely critical that folks have their finances squared away. It makes home life easier and happier. It also lets folks focus on their job and their mission when they get to work.
Yeah, and I know that you have been involved here because you do all of those things. You understand it as deputy director. As a former Vietnam vet, I understand that. You know, I really do understand the importance of being military ready. It's not just being ready to do the military part of that, but it's ready to be a total officer. And that's why I think this whole – everybody comes together for this program, because everybody says, hey, look, let's make sure that the officer or the serviceman – and when I say officer, I mean military personnel, the person is well-rounded, is comfortable, is happy, and that includes every aspect of your life.
Absolutely. And we as a Department of Defense recognize this, but we also have several partners, both in the federal government and state governments and nonprofit organizations across the country that are critically interested in the financial readiness and supporting the financial readiness. So one of our partners, the Federal Trade Commission, the FTC, started this Military Consumer Protection Day last year. As an opportunity to really raise awareness about protecting your finances and protecting yourselves from unscrupulous folks and lenders and things like that. So again, we really like the fact that we collaborate with such a wide range of people trying to help us spread our message of maintaining the financial health of the force.
Peter, you're not trying to suggest, are you, that someone would even attempt to rip off one of our service people, would take advantage of a military member? You're not suggesting that, are you?
Oh, never, Paul. part of the pitfall of being in the service of your country is you have folks who are very trusting and trustworthy, who are our service and duty oriented, who make a solid predictable income. And, you know, in many ways, that makes some folks and their families vulnerable to those with less than honorable motives.
Yeah, and the fact, too, is that part of the family is deployed, and everybody knows that, you know, that the husband and or wife or family member can be deployed somewhere else. That means that they are not able to take care of all of their financial situations the way they would like to if they were home. And that means to some people that they're even more vulnerable, believe it or not, that's who they strike out at. I think it's deplorable, but that's the way it is, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and it's not just at home. It's also deployed. It's also in installations overseas and wherever service members and military families are. There's folks out to get us, and we need to protect ourselves from them.
All right. When we come back, we're going to ask Peter, Commander Peter Hogle, Jr., United States Navy, to tell us what is the Military Consumer Campaign, how it works, and how you can participate. And remember, you don't have to be a part of the military to be in this. You probably got a son, a daughter, a husband, a wife, somebody that you know and love who's involved in the military. So listen up and help up. We'll be right back.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And I have the privilege of talking with Commander Peter Hogle, Deputy Director, Office of Family Policy, Children and Youth. And we are talking about Military Consumer Protection Day, MCPD. And Peter has kind of set us up to understand that the mission-ready serviceman has to be financially ready as well to do his or her job. And so let's find out what is the Military Consumer Campaign. Explain it to us, would you, Peter?
Absolutely. So the Military Consumer Campaign was started by the Federal Trade Commission last year. And they collaborate with us, the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau, and the Consumer Federation of America to promote certainly the financial health of the force. But really, this is an opportunity to focus in on protecting your finances, protecting your wealth, protecting yourself from illegal or folks out to get us. So the goal here is to kick off on July 16th. A Military Consumer Protection Day, which we promote both online and at installations. And it's not just a day. It's really to get folks in the mindset year-round of looking out for themselves and their families and their finances. So year-round, we strive to get folks to get their finances in order, to build wealth, to understand things like debt and insurance and all sorts of other financial tools. But then we also want them to focus in on protecting themselves, and that's a key component of this consumer campaign.
Folks, Peter Hogel has been in the Navy now for 17 years. And, Peter, I'm going to ask you to rely on that to give us kind of an overview from your point of view. 17 years ago, were we nearly as financially ready or financially sophisticated as we are today? Or is our military aware of what's out there and how best to use it?
Absolutely. We have improved significantly. Which is not to say there isn't work to be done, but I can certainly vouch for when I was a young officer, I can't say I had all the tools I needed to manage my finances perfectly, but I did okay. But more importantly, I had dozens of junior folks, especially very junior enlisted folks, who really, for the first time in their lives, were getting a paycheck and a steady income, and decided that they really couldn't handle certain life events. They didn't know how to buy a car. They had trouble dealing with landlords and other things. So I think as a department, we've come a huge way in really spreading the message of thinking about your finances and learning about how to manage your finances.
And I think the point you make is so important, is that a lot of these youngsters, and that's what they are, 17, 18, 19 years old, coming out of school and never having to make any financial decisions, now faced with a paycheck, and what do I do with it besides spend it? And that's where you get to them and say, look, yes, spend some of it, but also, more importantly, save a lot of it.
Absolutely. And making sure that their supervisors understand as well and have the tools to educate them.
All right. We're talking with Commander Peter Hogel, Deputy Director, Office of Family Policy. It is, folks, we are smack in the middle of Military Consumer Protection Year. We'll come back and talk more what it means to them and to you. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsor, the Defense Credit Union Council and the Credit Union National Association. And we thank them and their continued support of the program. If there's a topic or subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201. Again, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or contact me on my website at www.paulberry.com. And I'm serious. If you say, look, I think you ought to be talking about this, or I didn't like you talking about that, whatever you would like to say to us, you're welcome to do so, and we will listen to you. By the way, the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense Financial Readiness Campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. You go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And that's part of what I'm talking about with Peter Hogel, who is the deputy director of the Office of Family Policy, Children, and Youth, because for all that we're saying to you about protecting your resources, one of the best ways that you can protect your family and your resources, Peter, is by saving. Is there anything more important than saving? I don't think so.
Absolutely. Saving and having a plan about where you want to be 1 year, 5 years, 20 years down the line, and what your saving goals need to be to support that.
Is that message getting across to your fellow military members?
I think so, and I hope so. You know, we try to encourage not just general education, but making sure folks are aware of excellent vehicles for your savings, like the Thrift Savings Plan and the Savings Deposit Program.
Yeah.
And also where to look and who to trust and how to verify where you're thinking about putting your money and who to talk to.
Yeah, we got a friend over there that is often on the show, Holly Petraeus, who I know is the director of one of the campaigns, one of the military consumer protection campaigns there. And we really appreciate the programs that she has shared with us that are in place, everything from legal, as you say, to good counseling for military members. I mean, it's there, and it's also the thing that I found out is that the Defense Credit Union Council has credit unions on almost every military installation, and you can walk in there and get some assistance and help. I mean, that's wonderful, and I hope it's being used, is it?
Absolutely, and we want to make sure that service members and our families know where they can turn for trusted advice. And as part of the partnerships we have with folks using doing business on installations, is they're required to have those resources available. And we really appreciate the support of Defense Credit Unions. We also want to make sure folks are aware of the resources available at the military and family support centers, where we have personal financial management counselors. And anywhere in the world, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, Military OneSource is absolutely a wonderful resource for a range of family issues. But most importantly, at least for this call right now, financial readiness, confidential one-on-one counseling available anywhere in the world and ready to help folks get their finances in order.
All right. And tell our audience where they can go, either the military person themselves or a family member, civilian listening, can pass the message on. Where do they need to go to get more information?
Absolutely. For the Consumer Protection Campaign, they can go to the Military Consumer website, which is run by the Federal Trade Commission, easily Googleable, but also I would turn to the Military OneSource website, which is excellent. There's also our collaborators. You mentioned Holly Petraeus, who does amazing work with the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau Office of Service Member Affairs, and their website also has outstanding resources for how to manage your finances and protect yourselves from less reputable products.
Yeah, I just love it right today because we're using all of this and making it work for us. And you've done a good job in terms of getting us the information. Thank you, Peter, for being with us. Come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Absolutely, Paul. My
okay,
pleasure.
You bet. Commander Peter Hogel, Deputy Director, Office of Family Policy, Children and Youth, United States Navy. Folks, when we come back, we're going to talk about those wedding gifts that you should and or should not give. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry.
Helping you be safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
Wedding season is upon us, as we indicated earlier in my conversations when we started the show with my co-host, Tally Berry, who's in studio today. Our mailbox is filling up with invitations. You might be feeling a little stressed about the gifts you have to buy. He's not, because he doesn't buy the gifts. I buy the gifts. He just goes and drinks the wine and eats the wedding dinner and eats the wedding cake. You enjoyed the cake? Did you enjoy everything?
Cake was good.
It was great. It was just great, right? And so we went and then we got to stress through, what are you going to buy? What do you buy? Don't break your budget, but you got to get the right thing. And you certainly don't want to end up buying the couple something they will never use. So what do you do? Well, I'll tell you what we do. We turn to Kiplinger's online editor, Cameron Huddleston, who knows all about this kind of thing. Indeed, she's written a recent article about it. And she rounds up the seven worst wedding gifts to give and some better alternatives. Cameron, welcome to Home and Family Finance. Nice to have you with us again.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Have you been to any weddings?
Not this year, not so far, but I've been to plenty in the past.
I know. You're not going to admit it on radio because they'll hear that you just douse them. You just You said you were going. You were out of town, didn't you? So, I'm sick. I got a terrible cold. You just, weddings are. Do you think they're fun, Cameron?
I do. I love going to weddings. actually, my daughters have been flower girls in 3 weddings, so they're like professional flower girls at this point.
Oh my goodness. Yeah, are they enjoying it or is mom enjoying it? That's the question. They probably love it, though, don't they?
We all do.
Yeah. Well, one of the parts of it, and Tally and I, we went to this wedding for your first cousin, right?
Right.
Which was back mid-June, I think. And it was beautiful. And so, you know what I did was, and maybe this is what you're going to tell me we should do. I went online and found out that they were registered somewhere, Cameron. At some store, I think it was one of those stores where they sell all the pots and pans and all this
maybe Williams-Sonoma.
Yeah, like that. Yeah. And so they had a list of things, and so I went through and found out what fit my budget and what was in their list, and I chose one or two of those things. Was that smart?
You did the right thing.
You did
the right thing because people register for a reason. That's what they want. That's what they need. And, smart guests are going to go to that registry, but sometimes couples don't register or the item that might fit into your budget has already been purchased by someone else. And you don't want to spend more than you can afford.
Absolutely not. And again, believe me, I looked at the thing it said at the bottom there, registered with. And I said, well, if they registered there, it must mean that they've said in some form or fashion what they want. And so I went there, and sure enough, right there, Tally, was a list of different things. There must have been 40 different things on the list. And it also told me whether somebody else had purchased it or whether it was still available. In other words, I guess they even keep track of whether somebody's bought the thing or not already.
Right. But if you procrastinate, you might find that everything's already been purchased. And then you have to come up with a gift on your own. And that's where you can get in trouble.
Okay, let's talk about that right now because I know you've got some worse wedding gifts. But I'm thinking that the best thing that I can give somebody is some art or home decor. What do you think of that?
I hope you know their taste really well because you can mess up big time here. if you don't know the couple well, if you haven't been to their homes, you might think that a landscape painting would look just great, and they like modern art. And that painting's going to end up in the back of a closet and never see the light of day.
And they're going to hate me when I'm coming over to visit because they got to go try to find that thing I bought. Right?
They've got to find the painting and hang it up somewhere. Right. So, and, arts, you can find affordable artwork and you can find affordable home decor, but it also can be very expensive, so you might just be better off going with a very simple, elegant picture frame, whether it's one that you can set on a table or even just a simple one that can hang on the wall where they can put their wedding photo or a honeymoon photo or whatever they want inside that frame.
Oh, that's a smart. So rather than get a nice frame but leave it empty so that they
leave
can
leave it empty.
And I didn't think about that. See, but that makes perfect sense. They like the frame, and they can put in there what they want to put in there. Yeah,
exactly.
Okay.
Just keep it simple so it doesn't, clash with their other items in their home.
All right, Cameron. How about a big old kitchen gadget? One of those famous bread makers, something like that.
Oh yeah, that costs a lot of money that you don't want to really give, but you want to impress.
Right. They do cost a lot of money. But if they didn't register for it, there's a good chance that they might not even use it. And if they're just starting out, and they're living in a smaller home or a smaller apartment, there's an even better chance that they don't have a place to store that bulky item. And so it's going to take up space and they're not going to use it. Get them something they're probably going to use, like a quality knife or a common kitchen item that's going to get a lot of use. Or even food baskets, with some gourmet items or pantry essentials.
That's a great idea. Yeah, we got some ceramic knives for my mom a few years ago, and those things were fabulous. That's an idea.
And they actually cut, Cameron. You can cut stuff with them. That was a Williams-Sonoma thing, I think.
Sure was.
They don't look like they're very practical, but God, they're the best knives that we've had in the house. You know what? I've got a cousin in Detroit. They're getting married, and I know the initials, which is J-A-D. And I'm going to get it done. I'm going to have their tiles monogrammed in big red letters, J-A-D, you know, for their bathroom. Is that a great idea or what, Cameron?
Is their bathroom red? Will red match the bathroom?
Oh.
The problem is with monograms, which can be a very nice way to personalize an item, those monogram items cannot be returned. So if you get them towels they don't need or sheets they don't need and you put the monogram on it, they can't take it back. And if the color is wrong, again, they might not use it. And then when you come over, you know, they have to find those monogram linens. And so rather than spend the extra money on the monogram, perhaps, you know, if their sheets have already been purchased or their towels have already been purchased from the registry, look for maybe the next step up, the sheets with the higher thread count. Perhaps they didn't register for those because they didn't want people to spend too much. But if you have the money to spend, you know, get them that kind of luxury linen item that,
absolutely,
you know, matches what they already have.
Okay. So in other words, you know, you can say to them, look, let's buy the next level up. And it's got to be right. And everybody can use an extra set of sheets.
Or an extra set of towels.
Got it. All right. We're talking with online editor Kip Longyear's online editor Cameron Huddleston. When we come back, we'll go through some more items that you should not even think about giving somebody for their wedding. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be a part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Or maybe just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
And we're delighted to have with us Kiplinger Online editor Cameron Huddleston, who wrote a recent article on the 7 worst wedding gifts you can give, especially here in high wedding season. And one of the, you know, I never thought about it this way, Cameron. You decide that, okay, they're newlyweds. They're going to have a baby. So you go out there and you find them, you get them some kind of baby gift. Maybe you send up a baby crib. That's not such a good idea, is it?
No, because you're putting a lot of pressure on that couple, you know. And someone I interviewed for the story actually had a friend who received a fertility god's wedding gift.
You know, are you serious?
That's
a lot of assuming there, isn't it?
Serious. You know, and this sort of gift can just go wrong for so many reasons. You know, maybe the couple doesn't even want to have children. And the last thing they need is that pressure, that stress when they're starting a new life together to, you know, start a family immediately, increase their family of two to a family of three.
Yeah, and you're absolutely right. So, and plus it's very personal. I mean, so what's a better alternative, do you think?
So treat them to a night out, a day together, whether it's, you know, a gift card to the movie theater or to a restaurant, or perhaps a gift certificate to do an activity that they might want to do together, even like a tourist event or activity in their town that they might not, you know, visit otherwise. Give them something fun to do together as a couple.
I'm not going to be thought of as cheapening out on a deal.
Excuse me?
I said I wouldn't be thought of as cheapening out on a deal, being too cheap.
I don't think you would be too cheap. I think if they got any sort of gift that lets them have a night on the town for free or, you know, at a discounted price, then, hey, I think they would be happy to get that sort of gift.
And that's great, you know, if you're a mother hoping to be a grandmother and the point is to put pressure on them, then maybe a nice romantic night out is the right way to get them on the track to having a baby without being as obvious as a fertility.
Exactly.
That's a thought. You know, go out and get drunk and then come home and knock yourselves out, guys. I mean, you know, that's a great idea. That's a great idea. Well, you know, once you think about these things, Cameron, and that's what your article requires us to do, you realize that, yeah, you can make some pretty big mistakes, not intentionally, because you just haven't thought well about it, right?
Sure. Your intentions might be good, but the couple might view your gift in an entirely different light than what you had anticipated.
Yeah.
So if you're trying to save money, how about handmade gifts? How about making something yourself? It's heartfelt. They'll know you thought about it a bit. Is that a good way to go?
Well, if this is what you do, you know, for a living, or perhaps even maybe a side business, if you're an artisan, an artist, and you're really good at your craft, mm-hmm. and you know the couple, you know, is what you do, then sure, they probably will appreciate that you've made something for them. If you're not crafty and you're trying to find an inexpensive way to give a gift, then your gift probably will come off looking cheap. And, you know, the couple's not going to be able to exchange it. They're going to feel that pressure, you know, to pull it out when you come over. But what a better option might be if there are other people attending the wedding, you know, who have a tight budget, reach out to them. You know, this really applies to people who are just out of college, you know, and perhaps several people from the same school are going to a friend's wedding together. Pool your money together for a larger gift that you know they want.
Wow.
Rather than try to make a scrapbook,
yeah,
or a mix CD.
Cameron, and we're talking with Cameron Huddleston from Kiplinger Online. She is the editor there, and we're talking about an article that she did recently on the 7 worst wedding gifts. So here's what I like about that idea, because, yeah, you could say to several other couples, you know, maybe friends, let's do something. But what, I don't know, what can you give to somebody together like that? Is that going to be appreciated, Cameron?
Sure, you can do it. You know, you can go to their registry, because perhaps on the registry are the larger items that haven't been purchased yet. And, you know, you can't shell out $200 for that bread maker that they actually did register for, and you get a couple people to go into it. People have done this for baby showers. You know, the car seat and is usually an expensive item, and so a couple people have gone together and purchased that item for me, and of course I appreciated it because that's something I spend my money on. So if a couple has a bigger item they really want, maybe them big knives that can be quite pricey, you know, if you and several of your friends can spend $20, you can afford it.
Yeah, that's a thought. And then that's a good way, because I got to tell you, when I looked at the registry to go to our cousin's wedding, there were a couple of items that were big ticket, like $275 or $300. Mm-hmm. And they were nice items, Cameron, but I'm not going to shell out that kind of money. You know, not because I'm cheap, it's just that, you know, they're not worth it. I mean, you know, but seriously, no. I mean, it was beyond my budget. So if I pulled with somebody and we got that item, they'd appreciate it just as much, eh?
Sure.
Okay. All right. We're talking with Cameron Huddleston, Kiplinger's online editor, for some ideas for you for a wedding gift, what to give and what not to give. We'll come back and wrap up the list that she's got. And I think you're getting the drift here that you need to know about this. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Bear. Online editor Cameron Huddleston is my guest here on Home and Family Finance as we go through the other thing that she knows a lot about, and that's the wedding season. Her article was the 7 or 8 things that you just shouldn't even think about giving somebody on their wedding day. Tally Berry and I have gone through the list, and we're down now to, Tally, what's that, a humorous gift? A humorous gift is something, that's got to be a good idea, don't you think, Bones?
Yeah, like a yard gnome or chia pet,
something
yeah,
like that.
Sure.
A fish that hangs on your wall. And
yeah, yeah, that's that kind of stuff, you know. Does that work?
And you think it's funny, but the couple might just scratch their heads and wonder, what world were you thinking?
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So if you want to be funny, do it in a card. And if you don't know what else to give the couple, put some cash in that card, because, hey, who doesn't like cash?
Okay, and that's cool. I mean, I always thought, here's the thing I thought, Cameron, you straighten me out on this. If I put a $100 bill in your card, it says to the couple, I didn't have time to go shopping for you. I'm giving you cash instead. True, untrue?
No, not necessarily. it might, you know, they might just say, hey, they gave me a nice amount of cash to buy whatever I want. And so, you know, I think anyone appreciates cash.
Okay.
That's a perfectly fine gift.
Yeah, it's a new day, I guess. I'm 26. I have friends getting married asking for cash. They don't register.
Asking for cash.
I'm sorry to do this, but write me a check.
And, you know, some people do that now. They have a registry, and they don't register for particular items. They ask people to basically give donations to help them cover the cost of a honeymoon or perhaps even a down payment on a house.
Right. Yeah. Is that cool?
Well, it's gaining popularity.
So it must. I guess maybe it's just, you know, my generation, I'm not 26. I wish I were 26. But my generation, if you put cash in, it's sent a signal that it was a last minute kind of thing. You didn't really have time to shop, or you really didn't care. Now, that wasn't universal, but that was always in the back of a lot of folks' minds. So, and that might be wrong, totally wrong, Cameron. What do you think?
I think perhaps you are right, but it is changing. You know, I think it's much more acceptable now.
Well, I've seen, you mentioned a honeymoon. I've seen somebody use an online tool. They listed their ideal honeymoon to Mexico, all the things that went into making up the price. And then what you could do was you could go online before the wedding and donate a piece of that price. So it showed a little pie, and, you know, your gift is part of the honeymoon to Mexico. Maybe you paid for the swimming pool. Maybe you paid for some of the drinks. But I guess when you put it that way, and then when they've got it set up, then it's not such a bad gift to give cash.
Yeah, it's kind of like they prompted you to do that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't think about that. That's pretty cool too. And then you know you're sharing an important part of their experience, and that's, they can look back and say, well, you were partly responsible for sending me on the honeymoon. That's not a bad idea. I didn't think about that. All right, relationship books.
I know, you'd think who would do this. But,
yeah,
you know,
it's exactly.
Someone learned a lot, benefited from a relationship book they had, and thought, hey, I bet this couple would really appreciate it, you know, because my spouse and I really benefited.
Yeah.
But, you know, the couple's going to think, well, what's this person trying to say? Are they trying to say that my relationship is not good? Or, you know, it can just be a reminder, perhaps, that maybe down the road things won't be so good. And, again, you know, this is one of those gifts that can be, you know, misconstrued. If you don't know what to give, and like I said, there's cash, but there's also the gift card option, which is great. A gift card to the store with, or a department store or a big box store such as Target. You know, that's always a good fallback if you don't know what else to give someone.
And you're right. Why take a chance? I mean, a relationship, unless you really, really know the people, and I guess you do if you're going to have been invited to their wedding, but I really know, why take a chance on giving a gift that might offend, period? And I think a relationship book is really pressing. You're really pressing the issue pretty hard, don't you think?
Oh, I totally agree.
Yeah, that's just not such a good idea. What about books in general? Can you give somebody who's getting married a very expensive, or for that matter, inexpensive book?
You know, I think it depends. If you know they're very interested in perhaps art, you know, a collection of, you know, a book about the type of art they like, whether it's modern art or, you know, traditional art, whatever they like, or, you know, a book about a particular city they really like.
Yeah, you could do it. Cameron, as always, you're food for thought. Thank you so much for joining us and for sharing what you wrote and what it means. And come back and see us again soon, would you please?
Sure, no problem.
All right, Cameron Huggleson, folk, inline editor, Kiplinger Online Magazine. You can always find her anytime you go there, www.kiplinger.com. Tally, thanks so much for sitting in with me. Always a pleasure to have you next to me. Al Peterson, we couldn't get it done without you. We thank you so much. And, of course, you at home, or wherever you're listening from, you are the man or the woman. That's why we do what we do, and we're going to do it again next week. Join us here.